love Marvel.
Comic Conversations.
It's awesome.
With your host,
the wickedly talented
Tony.
Devora, self-hating Jew. Devora, the woman who killed Christ personally. Devora, the reason we want Hitler back.
Alex. I want to be digitally added into every future copy of The Sixth Sense when they reveal that Bruce Willis has been a ghost the whole time. I want to pop up on the screen right after he finds out and say, I'm not surprised, motherfucker.
And Dave.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. This is Tony, and you're listening to Comic Conversations, the podcast that talks comics more than anybody else. And as always, I'm joined by my co-hosts, Dave and Alex. Alex, how are you doing tonight?
Not bad.
And Dave.
I'm doing good.
All right. With that out of the way, let's go into our first segment, the lightning round. Danger, danger. Our voltage. Oh, when we touch, when we get. When we touch, when we get. We have a very short lightning round this week. For this week's books, we have Black Road and Miss Marvel. I abstained from reading this week's Black Road, so guys, let me know what happened in this week's Black Road.
Yeah, this was a quick issue to read. Magnus and Julia, they're being chased by wolves. And they also give a little background to Oakenfort and the bishop who had been ostracized by the church. And the place has gone rogue, and, you know, it's basically like a stronghold temple, like it was like Apocalypse Now. And then later on in the issue, Magnus and Julia fight off the wolves. That was basically it.
Yep, they were trying to put over the girl.
Yes.
And give her background without giving her background.
Okay. Alex, are you moving around the kitchen? I noticed on this week's show, you're doing it on your phone, and we talked a little bit off air, and you sounded just fine. Now you sound like you're in a tin can.
No, I'm
okay. Still you sound better
sitting.
Now. There you go. I don't know what you did between now and then, but you sound better now.
I haven't moved.
Okay, well there you go. You sound better now. Okay, in our second lightning round title, we have Miss Marvel.
Yeah, this was a little preachy story. Miss Marvel, she helps Captain Marvel. Captain Marvel wants her to be part of her little Jersey Street team to stop threats before they happen, you know, the whole thing with Ulysses. And she gets a little talking to from her black sister-in-law, talking about, well, they haven't committed crimes, and this is like profiling black people. And next thing you know, they find out about a new threat, and it involves a friend of hers from school. Yes, so now she's conflicted.
She's torn. It's the jock. It's the white jock.
Wait.
Yeah, the football player.
She only has like three friends at school.
That's what makes it the process of elimination a lot easier.
Well, she's got Bruno, I guess Mike, and her other Muslim friend.
Yeah, but she also has that one chick, the white chick that she became friendly with. Remember, they used to be enemies.
Oh, the one who didn't like her because she was brown.
I don't know why she.
No,
didn't like
it wasn't
her.
That she. I think it was she was trying too hard to be like to understand where she was coming from. That's how it seemed to come for me. Like she didn't know anything about her culture, so she was like trying too hard.
And then and it's her boyfriend, right? The football player, the one who.
No, they broke up. Remember?
Okay.
Because she thought he was stupid because he's a football player, but he's like, you know what? I do really good in school. I get straight A's. I guess just because I'm a football player, I give off that I'm dumb, I guess. He's like, but really, I'm really better at these subjects than her.
Yeah, that was pretty much it.
Yeah, that was this week's lightning round. With that out of the way, let's go into this week's books. How dare you introduce jazz into the show?
That is from a video game.
I know, but I'm just ripping on you because you picked the jazz tune. No, it was a good song. That's from Grim Fandango. Is that Casino Calavera? Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Yeah, it's when Manny's playing Humphrey Bogart and he runs a casino.
Okay. All right, let's go into this week's books, which include RG9, Action Comics 954, Aquaman 1, Flash 1, Wonder Woman 1, Civil War 2, Choosing Sides, Issue 1, Doctor Strange 9, Mighty Thor 8, Nighthawk 2, Scarlet Witch 7, Totally Awesome Hulk 7, Ultimates 8, Uncanny Avengers 10, Divinity 2, Issue 3, and Rye 14. All right, let's open up with a book that Dave absolutely loved. I'm sure if we still had the segment, the Book of the Week, I'm sure this would be his pick for Book of the Week. Archie, Issue 9, writer Mark Waid, art by Veronica Fish.
The hell about you? I love this issue a lot.
I think this is the first issue that Veronica Fish has officially won me over with her art. She's never been bad. Here's the thing. When we were promised Fiona Staples for the first two or three issues, I was like, oh, is this going to be the book going forward? Because this is like a dream team. And then when they did the bait and switch and gave us Veronica Fish, her art was always good, but it's just like, well, it's not Fiona Staples. But at this point, it's like she's grown into her own, and I appreciate the art, and I like the book going forward.
I want to point out that this issue made my wife make fun of me because keep in mind, I'm a grown man sitting down reading Archie. And the part when, Betty's working on the car and Archie's in there talking to her.
Yeah.
I actually said out loud, Archie and Betty belong together. And Lauren looked at me and she's like,
I'm going to isolate that now.
She's like, you are such a fucking girl. And she actually left the room. And I'm like, it's really well written.
It was. But you know what I liked about this issue? They really humanized Veronica a lot in this issue.
Yes, and they needed to.
Freaking, she was trying to do her best to – because, okay, remember in the last issue, the dad was trying to get the – Archie's dad to move so, you know, they wouldn't be together. Well, now she's he allows her to be with him. But he basically turned his mansion into a fortress. So now he has...
Yeah, Archie's not allowed in the house.
Yeah, so now she decides she's going to go to Archie's house, but she's not used to a regular house. You know, she's rich.
She thought it was the guest house. She's like, well, where's the other house?
Yeah, because she brings in the giant TV.
The other house? And she's like, yeah, not the guest house. And then his mom's like, this is all it is, dear.
She buys Archie's dad like 100-inch TV, and he was so happy.
He was like hugging. He's trying to hug it.
He's like, I'm never leaving this room.
Oh, but it was sad though because she heard Archie's mom and dad talking about her.
Yeah,
and like basically kind of. I mean, they weren't being mean, but they were saying this girl doesn't know shit about real life, so she decides. And they said, I've never seen someone try to help so much and not help at all or something like that.
Yeah.
So she decides the next day, she's like, all right, I got her grocery list. I'm going to go grocery shopping. And she ends up calling Archie. She's in the grocery store just bawling.
She doesn't know what Pam is.
Yeah, she said, she's like, and I can't find anyone here named Pam. And she also complained that there were children everywhere and they were sticky.
She's like, I can't get any of the shopping carts to move forward.
Yeah, but when she called him, he was talking to Betty and they were about to kiss.
Oh boy. But here's my question. Wasn't she seeing some guy on the side? Like, what is she trying to get with Archie now?
Well, she was trying to. It was one of those moments where like they're together and like you see it on TV. Awkward moment, all of a sudden they get interrupted.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And she technically, she wasn't really dating that guy.
Yeah, I don't think so.
He was just kind of hanging around.
But isn't she also the one that called it off with Archie?
Yeah, she was.
Yeah, but I mean, she was angry. And now she's not angry. So.
I have a hard time feeling bad for Ron. She's not a bad person.
She's no. not, but
I you know what though? I think this is what they're going at. They're not doing the you hate her, you hate her. What they're going for is they're two different people, but they both mean well.
Yeah, and you're not supposed to. I mean, you can have, you know, Team Betty and Team Veronica, but one of them is not supposed to be the clear bad guy. Because if one of them is, then it makes your baby face, which is Archie in this case, an idiot. Because it's like, well, he's got Betty here. Why is he going after Veronica? Because she's evil. Well, she's not. And he knows that because he knows her better than everybody else. So you sort of understand from his perspective what he's going through. And it helps him out because if it was just Archie playing the two off each other and he's constantly dating one or the other, Archie comes off as kind of an asshole.
Yes.
A little bit, yeah.
And in this case, it's like Betty broke up with him. She hasn't really given an indication that she wants to get back with him. And, you know, they've been friends forever. So he's still just friends with her. So he doesn't come off as a bad guy when he's talking about his issues with his current girlfriend, with his ex-girlfriend, because they had a pre-existing relationship. Mm-hmm. And they're just continuing it now. And Archie doesn't know any different. So, you know. I don't think he comes off badly, and I'd mentioned in earlier times when we talked about this book that I thought one of the problems was going to be they would either make Veronica the bad guy or they would make Archie a dick, and Wade has managed to have neither of those things happen.
Everybody comes off good. Everybody has motivations, and everybody like you. There's not a clear antagonist and clear protagonist. It's like, well, everybody has a case.
Well, it's
the antagonist would be like the dad, I guess.
Yeah, but even that, it's like, yeah. Well, he allowed her to see her now, and I got the feeling with this issue. And when I first started reading it, I'm like, oh, I know what's going to happen because the dad isn't objecting to Archie anymore; that she's not going to be as attracted anymore.
I don't get that.
No, because again, that.
No, I was saying that's why I thought at first, and I thought this is sort of a credit to Wade to not going in such an obvious direction.
No, it's good. I'm a little creeped out that an old guy can write a teenage love triangle this well, but I suppose that's probably done on TV and stuff. You don't have a lot of teenagers writing.
This is like
TV shows and movies.
This isn't any different than some of these romance animes or mangas. It's the same shit.
It's no different from old Archie comics.
Yeah, probably. I never really read them, but I imagine it's the same.
I mean, it's
same deal.
Well, yeah, it's the same thing. So
just modernize.
Yeah, it's modernized. It's written better, but it's still the same deal.
I can't speak to old Archies, but I can tell you from when me and Dave watched old anime shows back in the day. No, this is a lot better than that. Those honestly, Dave, they were really good, but they came off a little misogynistic.
Well, yeah, it's Japan.
Well, that's the culture, though. That's not, you know.
Yeah, this was like Nisekoi. Remember Nisekoi?
Yeah, but that was like, oh, every chick's going after him, and it's like, come on. It's like, they can't find any other guy?
That's commonplace over there. Ain't no different.
Jeez. Terrible. All right.
Is he like a nerd who sits on his computer all the time and bet you still want him?
No.
Is it like that?
No. He's some dude who's the son of some Yakuza guy or some shit.
Well, I like the way I pitched it to you when we used to do the show back in the day. It's a reverse Romeo and Juliet story. It's these two warring gangs. It's they want to call a truce, and the only way they can do it is that they get both their kids to date. But the fact of the matter is they both hate each other.
Although they warm up to each other later on.
Yeah, but it's like they're only dating each other and they're only putting on a good faith because they don't want their two warring gang Yakuza families to fight.
Yeah, pretty much.
Nice.
Meanwhile, they're both in love with other people.
Next book.
All right. We are done with Archie. Let's move on to DC Comics with Action Comics 954, writer Dan Jurgens, art by Patrick Zinger.
This was a
wasn't this
exciting.
Wasn't this 958?
Yeah, what did I say?
954.
My mistake, 958.
It's going to be. The only reason they went back to the original numbering was so they could get to issue 1,000.
Yeah, they're not too far from 1,000.
Now I'm realizing that's going to be a few years. So.
Yeah, especially if they're doing monthlies. Yeah, it's going to be a while.
And this book isn't going to be a twice-a-month thing like Batman. It's not, or...
Is this one? I feel like we read it recently.
Yeah,
so this, 2 weeks this ago. May be a twice-a-month.
It felt recently. Or you know what? It might have been that Zero issue. Or the Rebirth issue. Maybe.
No, because there was an Action Comics, I think, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, because Action Comics didn't get a Rebirth issue.
Oh, yeah.
Superman Rebirth, I think, was the one where he found out he couldn't bring Superman back to life.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and that one led to issue number one of Superman.
Yeah, this, which is, you know, it's going along the same lines, but it's different. This was good, though. It was Superman and Luthor fighting against Doomsday, and during the fight, Superman sort of came to realize, okay, well, maybe Luthor's not
as bad
as I thought he was going to be, because Luthor is actually, like, you know, he's still Luthor. He's still an arrogant prick, but he is genuinely trying to save people's lives.
Yeah, he has good intentions.
And do what's right. Yeah.
But, you know, he's cautious because of the, you know, their past. You know, it's understandable.
Yeah. And to remind us that this is Super Dad and not just, you know, Superman, they would cut back to Lois and Jonathan watching the fight against Doomsday on the TV. And Lois is shitting herself because, you know, she obviously remembers, oh, wait, this fucking thing killed Superman.
Yes.
And he's fighting it again, and it looks to be going the same way. And Jonathan's just like, well, I can go fucking fly up there and help Dad. It'll be all right. She's like, no, you can't. And she can't tell him, like, this thing killed your dad. Because she mentioned he's fought him before, and he's like, well, what happened? She goes, well, he won.
At the end, eventually.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, he won, but he also fucking died, so.
I like how,
problem.
I like how she says, yeah, you could probably fly there, but you wouldn't know how to get there.
These are all
the same shit.
These are all good points.
Yeah, good point.
That was brought up in another comic. I don't remember which one, but someone flying off somewhere and then they needed directions. That's a good thing to point out. Yeah, just because you can fly and you're super fast doesn't actually mean you can get to the place.
Well, I mean, you can get to the place eventually.
Yeah, you can figure. Well, yeah, if you just keep flying around. No, but Superman and Lex were fighting Doomsday, and Lex couldn't do shit to him.
We got the Clark Kent that is mysteriously alive now, and it's not Superman, so who is he?
Yeah. Oh. He's angry about it, and Mr. Oz is still there background watching.
And also, remember in there's some guy, some mysterious figure who's looking on? Mm-hmm.
Who we keep seeing, who, I don't know, maybe he's not Ozymandias. Yeah, that seems too on the nose now.
That's what everybody seems to think.
Yeah, everybody thinks that, but I think now it's almost too obvious. And also, that whole reveal of everything that's going on, like, they teased it in Flash, too. And they basically said, oh, it's going to be dealt with in the Titans book. And I guarantee every issue of the Titans book isn't going to be Wally looking for what happened to the 10 years they missed. That's not what that book's going to be. So I think we're going to keep getting hints dropped, but because of that, because of the way it's flowing, DC is they're going to throw, like, red herrings and shit in the way just so people keep talking without actually revealing anything until they're ready to. Mm-hmm.
It is interesting. I'm not sure if it matters that it, you know, the fact that everybody seems to think that's who it is, they may be tempted to go in a different direction.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't, you know, Vince Russo booking of wrestling. If that's who they intend it to be, they won't change that just because people figured it out.
Yeah, I'm fine with that, if that's who it is, Ozymandias at the end.
I mean, aside from the fact that he was once referred to as Oz, there's really nothing to indicate that's who it is.
Maybe it's Kevin Nash because they said it's Oz.
It's Kevin Nash.
Yeah, yeah, he was Oz once, right? The pro wrestler Kevin Nash.
He was.
All right, you brought.
You know who gave him that gimmick?
Who?
Dusty.
Aw, too soon.
You're gonna be Oz, baby. No, it really was Dusty.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah. All right, since you brought up Flash, let's talk Flash number one.
Yeah, this was a basically a day in the life of Barry Allen.
Yeah, and did you find this odd since he doesn't really need to be introduced?
Yeah, a little bit.
You
know what else? I guess so they can introduce a new Flash in this issue? Because it looks like...
Yeah, because there's...
That dude...
So what happened was before they did Rebirth, which clearly they had planned out for years. We all know that's bullshit. They did this because sales were tanking. they had introduced a Wally West in the Flash. It's that black kid.
Correct. Yes.
But he obviously wasn't the real Wally West. He's just another one. But Flash had a relationship with him. So in this issue, they decided we should probably deal with the fact that there's another Wally West.
Yes.
Which they did. And, they sort of combined it with him and his relationship with Iris, who was, his wife in normal continuity. But in this, they're just friends.
I met, although the kid is like, yeah, whatever. You guys are worse than high school kids.
Well, yeah, because they haven't hooked up yet, but everyone thinks it's, they all think it should be happening.
In this continuity, does she know his identity? I got that impression.
No.
Okay.
No.
I don't think anybody does, right?
No, she doesn't know. Someone probably does. I don't know who, though, because I wasn't reading Flash, but I know she doesn't.
Probably Batman knows.
Well, Batman knows everything.
Well, Batman knows everyone's.
That goes without saying.
Hey, he's a detective. He knows everyone's.
Yeah, you can figure that shit out. No, but how did this end? It didn't end with Gorilla Grodd.
No. There was an investigation of a murder scene by the Stars building. And, when he's talking to Wally West and Iris, he's met with a dilemma. There's a Stars attack, and then there's also an apartment fire, so he decides to save the people from the fire first, but August is over there by that attack. And it looks like he's about to get shot, and Flash is going to miss him, but then he gets struck by lightning, August does, and it looks like the Speed Force has chosen him.
Da-da-da.
So we're going to get another Flash.
Jeez, as if there weren't enough Flashes, right? We got a Flash, and we got two kid Flashes.
The thing is, in old DC continuity, I mean, you had Flash, you had Max Mercury, you had Jesse Quick, you had fucking Impulse. There were a million fucking Flashes running around. So they're just keeping funny, that with continuity.
It's funny, you're cool with that, but the idea of having more than one Green Lantern just throws you into a tizzy.
And this is a bullshit excuse, but DC has a long history of the legacy characters.
Uh-huh.
Like, I find it acceptable to have two Flashes or Jesse Quick, who was the kid of another person who had super speed. Like, I'm okay with that, but just also there's a big difference between five people with super speed and 3,400 people with fucking Green Lantern rings.
To be fair, how many of them interacted with the DC continuity? Two? Three?
Not that many, but I still knew they were there. I just thought it was better when there was one guy with one ring.
Meanwhile, there's what, five, six Flashes?
No, right now there's three.
No, but I'm saying an old DC continuity.
In old DC continuity, well, there were only three Flashes. Mm. There were just other people who had super speed. And Impulse eventually became Kid Flash.
Jesus Christ.
But that was after I stopped reading DC.
Smart man.
So I choose to ignore that.
Selective memory, eh?
Yeah, a little bit. I don't know if Impulse is in the current DC.
Yeah,
I have no idea.
You would know more than I do, and I know nothing, so.
His name was Bart.
Any relation to Simpson?
Nope.
Aw. All right, we have our two final DC books, Aquaman and Wonder Woman. Where do you guys want to go from here?
Let's go with Aquaman first, because this issue convinced me even more they're going to kill Mara. And it's for a different...
But well, you know what? It's a little bit too obvious. So I wonder if like they're just going to do it.
It almost is, but if you didn't notice this, Aquaman is so fucking dull in his own book. And I understand that's because this issue was framed around the Atlantis Land Embassy, which is like in Boston Harbor. And it's not actually on land. It's still in the water, but it is a building that people can go into. They were inviting, you know, various representatives from world governments to come in. Also, so he was playing king.
Also a journalist, because remember the Black Manta. He was disguised as a journalist.
Well, Black Manta had to ruin this because he wants to ruin everything about Aquaman's life. So he disguised himself as a journalist for the Daily Planet and then revealed himself. And he shot Aquaman and he flooded the, like he smashed a hole and
he planted explosives.
Yeah, he blew a hole in the wall so the water all comes rushing in and they have to quickly try to save the people. And then he reveals to Aquaman that it's Black Manta and he's going to fucking, you know, I'm going to take everything away from you because you killed my dad.
He's like, the world thinks you're this superhero, thinks you're this great king, but I know you as a dirty murderer.
I wish I knew if he killed his dad or not.
Yeah, I'm curious if this is the second Black Manta or his father was just a guy.
A guy who he killed?
Maybe. I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, so was his dad the original Black Manta and this is El Hijo del Black Manta?
It's not super clear.
Yeah, well, he's got the same costume.
Oh, you know what? This is a different Black Manta because, what's his name? Aquaman mentioned, Black Manta again.
Ah, they could have had different encounters in the past, though. It's not entirely clear what's happened up to this point.
Same guy before.
No, but he made it sound like it was, well, okay. Yeah, I guess that's true. It could have been, but then again, yeah, I guess, because he could have just killed his father and it was not a Black Manta.
It could have been just a terrorist.
Yeah, could have been.
An Atlantean terrorist.
Or he could have been a completely innocent guy who something that Aquaman did caused him to die. We're sort of at a disadvantage by not having read DC.
Yeah, it could just be the son of the other Black Manta for all we know.
Yeah, the way it's written, it's like it doesn't matter. And the fact that we're trying to make heads or tails of it, we're just nitpicking.
But, no, because he's still a bad guy.
Yeah, he's still a bad guy. He's still Black Manta. Does it matter how his father's dead, if Aquaman's in the right or not? This is an Aquaman story, so
not
obviously.
Particularly.
Yeah. I don't know. What you guys think of
the reason I think. Well, the reason I think Mera's going to die is because, like I said, Aquaman isn't given a lot of character here.
Not a ton. And I think that's going to be the weakness with this book going forward. Had we not had so few books this week, I'd be like, guys, can we just drop Aquaman?
Well, because I'm interested to see where they go with this, though. And I don't think he's going to remain like that. Like, it was just very much, you know, he was playing a role here because he wants peace between Atlantis and the surface world, and they don't trust him. So he kind of has to put on this sort of bland front, but I think there's more to the character, and we just haven't seen it yet. But if they kill Mera, then he can be angry Aquaman again like he used to be.
But doesn't this go against their new initiative with Rebirth? It's like, oh, things are going to be a lot more upbeat. And we've been teasing this relationship between the two of them getting married. We teased it in the Rebirth book. It's like, and we try to, we want
yeah,
to have
you're
some
right.
marriages.
And they did just bring her back. So.
And that's one of the things they put over. I think a lot of people were mad what they did with Batwoman, because the fact they didn't get married, and their defense was, well, our characters never get married. So when they did that Rebirth book, it's like maybe going forward they're gonna change their policy on that.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that's changed because they're trying to get away from overly depressing DC.
And I think killing Mera would be going against that. But at the same time, they have a dozen other characters they can do stuff with. So if they decide to kill her, it's not the end of the world. It's not them going back on their new initiative.
Yeah. But, I mean, the first issue more focused on Aquaman as a character.
It's funny we say the first issue, but this is Aquaman issue one, but that was the Rebirth issue you're talking about.
Well, the Rebirth issue focused more on him as a character. And was
by the
more
way,
interesting
what,
than this. But.
What a great marketing ploy. Let's have a Rebirth issue and a number one issue, and they'll both be number ones.
Well, it's just like doing a zero issue, really. So I'm okay with that.
I want to get someone from one of these two comic book companies and just talk marketing, all the BS stuff they do to try to get sales up. Like, if you notice with some of the Marvel events going forward, there's Alpha One and there's Omega One for a lot of these crossovers.
That's an old thing.
Is it?
That started with either Spider-Man or Age of Apocalypse.
With the two...
Yeah, but the Alpha and Omega issues that sort of bookend everything you do in between. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's an old thing. They just brought it back.
Okay, from here, we're going to wrap up our DC books with Wonder Woman issue one. You guys liked this book a lot more than I did. I read it, and while it wasn't bad, I was just bored.
I thought this was the best... This is the best DC book I've read since...
I personally liked the Superman book better this week.
As did I. That was vastly superior.
I really, really, really like this. I thought the art in this was some of the best art we had this month. I thought the writing of the character was strong. I thought the action scene was very well done. I thought that the way they introduced cast members was organic and natural, and none of it felt forced. I liked pretty much everything about this book, and I went into it thinking, God, I don't want to fucking read this.
Oh, by the way, Wonder Woman. We do have some sort of breaking news. Apparently, 20th Century Fox reportedly considering some sort of team up with Marvel Studios.
Well, yeah, because the fucking X-Men movie didn't do half as good as they thought it would.
And yeah, Fantastic Four movie tanked.
You think?
Yeah, and now they need help.
I think what's really gonna force their hand is when those receipts for the new Spider-Man movie come out.
Well, when they work with Sony and it makes a shit ton of money.
Exactly. I think between these two movies underperforming and if Spider-Man really does outperform everything they've done by themselves. But here's the one problem I see with it.
I think Spider-Man's going to do a billion easy.
But I'm saying the only leverage
Spider-Man is kind of a draw.
Yeah, a little bit. But here's the thing. The reason why they went in this direction because... Even though Spider-Man was a draw, what they were doing by themselves wasn't really knocking them dead either.
Well, I think the last...
Amazing Spider-Man 2 made pretty good money, didn't it?
It made like $700 million, but they were projecting a billion. So it still made money. They just weren't making as much as they had hoped.
So it's like the Batman versus Superman. Like, it made a shit ton of money, but they expected more.
Yeah.
So it's a... Well, it got... They both fell victim to horrible reviews, which... You know.
Oh, by the way, yeah, you know, that, Independence Day tanked like a motherfucker this week.
I knew it was going to, and I told everyone it would.
It wasn't even
a fucking horrible idea.
Not even number one.
Why did they put it out so early?
I don't know. Roland Emmerich wanted to do a. He thought this was going to be the start of a Independence Day franchise.
Oh, I don't know who it was. I think it was Dazza. It's like the nerve of them, the way this movie ends, is like they think they're going to get a sequel out of it.
And it's like if you were going to do an Independence Day franchise, shouldn't you have done it fucking 20 years ago after the first movie came out? Like, why did you wait this long? Nobody cares anymore.
And you couldn't get Will Smith?
Nobody did care.
You couldn't get Will Smith?
Well, he's dead, dude. No, Will Smith didn't want to do it. So they got fucking Jeff Goldblum.
Who isn't exactly a draw in 2016. So I am pumped with the idea that he's going to be in a Thor movie, though.
Will Smith?
No, Jeff Goldblum.
Who the fuck? Oh, isn't he like the collector or something?
No, that's somebody else.
Oh.
But funny you should bring up Marvel, because we're going to move on to...
Well, wait, we weren't done. We never actually talked about Wonder Woman.
Oh, we did. You're right. I'm sorry. Getting a little ahead of myself there.
I explained why I liked it, and then we never talked about it. No, it was actually pretty simple. So at the end of the Rebirth issue, Wonder Woman found out she didn't know her own origin, and she's got all these mixed memories messed up in her head. And I don't quite understand this, but she went to Africa to fight her way to Cheetah.
Yes.
And demands that Cheetah tells her basically who she is. That sort of makes sense. One of her big villains.
She's trying to help her get back to Themyscira.
Themyscira?
Yeah, whatever the hell Themyscira. Wherever the hell that place is, because apparently it's lost to her now.
Yeah.
So she needs to go back to her home place so she can figure out what her origin is.
What her actual origin is. Nothing about her brother in this.
No.
Well, you know, they have a lot of... They're trying to tell the one story out of the way so they can move on to the brother stuff.
And I think they're hinting at a relationship between her and Steve Trevor, which they didn't really have before because she was dating Superman, but he's dead now.
Yes.
So they're hinting that might be coming back. Not on Wonder Woman's end, because she was all business in this. But on his end, like he keeps a picture of her in his fucking kit bag.
That he does unthinkable things to.
And it's a shitty picture, too. They all made fun of him. They're like, you can get way better pictures of her on the internet. And he's like, yeah, but this one is mine.
She's tall. She's like 6'2".
yeah, they showed that. Because it was like, I don't know if she got arrested or what, but it was her in like a lineup or something.
Yes, it looked.
She had a goofy smile.
It had the height thing in the background, yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, she's tall. She's Wonder Woman.
But yeah,
good job, Rucka.
Well, yeah, he's a great writer. This was one of the titles I was looking forward to, and it's still good, but it's not gonna be dead either.
He's wrong, folks.
What's that?
He's really good. He's wrong, folks. Read it. Lero is damn near almost always right.
Well, I think we're gonna get more disagreement when we move on to Marvel.
I don't know. We'll find out.
Let's talk Civil War II: Choosing Sides, Issue 1.
Yeah, parts of it were good. Parts of it weren't so good.
Yeah, it was three different stories. The first one involved Nick Fury. He was sent on a mission to take out some double agents who were Hydra. Well, when he was sent on a mission with the S.H.I.E.L.D. agents, they were the double agents. So So he ends up killing them and then faking his death to, I guess, figure out, you know, what's going on with all this.
Yeah, and I found this story enjoyable.
Yeah,
I wanted to see the next part. So. Yeah,
this one actually has a next issue because the other two stories ended.
They started and ended.
Yeah, the second story was Night Thrasher, and it was basically him during the Celestial Attack, just him helping out people more or less.
And they updated the character a little bit.
Yeah, they showed his new gear and.
This is pretty much a reintroduction of the character.
Yes.
Like he gave the speech about like, yeah, this is who I was and this is my new gear and now we're going to have some fight scenes where I do cool stuff and I interact with other superheroes. And I thought it was fine. When I was a kid, I really liked Night Thrasher because I thought he had a cool costume. That's pretty much it. I liked his costume.
He was basically Batman. Rich dude, parents got killed, superhero.
Yeah.
Lord knows we don't have enough of those running around the Marvel DC. I mean, the Marvel continuity.
Well, this was an earlier Batman ripoff.
And the third issue focused on damage control.
Oh, that was funny.
This was the funny story where damage control is going through some tough times. They're trying to up their profile by doing free work, but they're still, you know, the Daily Bugle is still running negative stories about them, how they're war profiteering, they said. So they were doing all this free, but they were kind of broke. And then they found, I can't remember what his name was, but it was basically.
Yeah, that actually is a real character because I remember reading about it. Yeah, he was I've seen him in like old Ghost Rider stories.
His name is Troll the Unhuman.
Yeah, he is a giant alien piece of construction equipment. Now, Damage Control could not do their jobs of cleaning up after superhero attacks because their equipment broke down and then was parts of it were stolen. So
a sentient
they
steam
borrowed
shovel.
Stuff from Parker. Well, they borrowed stuff from Parker Industries, but they had to give that stuff back. So they wouldn't be able to continue their business. However, this thing, they found out it was making little baby construction equipment. So one of the members of Damage Control talked to him, and they put him on the team. So now Damage Control is they have a giant sentient piece of construction equipment who can produce kids who will do all the work all by themselves. Now, I fear for the people on the Damage Control company list who operated the machinery because they do not seem to have jobs now.
No, you're completely missing on what they're doing. Now, they want to keep all this Troll on the DL. So what they said was, we're gonna have our construction workers work on the stuff during the day, and we're gonna have Troll and his baby steam his construction equipment work at night.
Yes.
So he's doing all the real work.
Night work.
Well, no, they're gonna be doubling their efforts while only paying half a crew.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Smart plan. This is a cute story.
It didn't set my wall on fire, but it was fine.
Well, I mean, what this book is going to be is you'll get some short, like little bite-sized stories of underused characters and how they're dealing with the current situation in the Marvel Universe. And I hope that they keep it to three stories an issue because I felt that none of these were too long. Like, none of them overstayed their welcome. They just introduced something, they did something with it, and then it very quickly ended. And the only one that's continuing is the Nick Fury thing. And these stories are all, like, what, 7 pages a piece?
Something like that. Yeah. They're not too long.
Might have been 10, because I think this was a slightly longer book than usual.
Your justification for reading this was, the last time they did Civil War and they did a book like this, it was the best.
Yeah, this isn't as good as Frontline, okay. But it was something different. Like I can read this book because I kind of got a kick out of seeing Night Thrasher, and the next issue had Moon Knight on it on the cover, so. I'm always up for reading Moon Knight
stories.
Yeah,
he's got that shield insignia on his chest. Which I don't know exactly
what that
means.
I don't really think Shield would recruit fucking Moon Knight because he's insane. But
they've hired
whatever. Hopefully, it doesn't mess with his continuity.
I sure hope not.
Did you see that GIF I sent you?
Yes, you could have sent me that on Facebook though. That was very funny though. He sent me a GIF of Big Show slamming Ray into the post, but he was strapped to the gurney. So Big Show slams him into the post, right? But then he immediately drops him after swinging him to the post, and Ray goes falling to the mat, being strapped to this gurney face down.
Oh, I remember that.
That has got to suck.
Did this happen during Ray's amazing title run?
No, this was after. This is, I think, no. This is JBL, and this was, I think, no, this was before because Brock was still in the company, and they didn't put the title on Ray till after.
So they were building him up for his title run. He was doing jobs for the Big Show.
No, this was
for everyone.
This is a solid year before they put the title on Ray.
Oh, okay. Well, they only did that because Eddie died.
Actually, it may have been 2 years. Because now that I think about it, Brock's last match was at Mania 20, and Ray didn't win the title till 22. So it was at least a good 2-3 years before Ray won the belt.
Poor Ray. Now he's in a promotion no one watches.
But he's booked a lot better. And he's not being thrown in his face.
Is he? Didn't he lose his first match?
I don't know.
I have no clue.
That's their gimmick. Everybody loses their first match.
I think one of the women won their first match.
Oh, the one who has no talent?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're bitching about that on the board. Next book.
Doctor Strange, issue 9.
This is fucking good, too.
Yeah, second to last issue of this storyline.
Oh, Doctor Strange found out about Wong's hidden monastery.
Yes.
Dick.
And that one evil manifestation of magic is taking on that one empirical guy.
Yeah, so are we supposed to be rooting for that thing?
I guess.
If it's going to wipe out
being made entirely of pain.
Yeah, if they're trying to wipe out these evil scientist guys, I have to imagine.
And we question the implications for even if Doctor Strange wins, they've already destroyed all the magic shit. Mm-hmm. And Doctor Strange has now done away with the monks who we found out in this weren't actually monks. They were just magic people who were led to this hidden place in the Himalayas.
I'm so confused.
Just kind of showed up and then got recruited into taking on all the pain for all the things he's doing.
Yeah, well, there is a distinction here, because remember like how bad this looks? They actually volunteer.
Yeah, they do volunteer, but they're like compelled to volunteer.
Yeah, because
so it's not,
because when Strange tells them to leave, they don't have any qualms about leaving.
Yeah, they leave. Well, on the other hand, Wong was the one heading it up, and he knocked him out, so it's not like they would have known what to do. He explained it to them, and they thought they had to do it. But either way, Doctor Strange was very disgusted that this was going on. Wong's
like,
hey, if you don't have these guys, you're going to die.
No, nothing. You were cutting out for a second there, but we got the tail end of that.
Okay. Well, no, but what I'm saying is when this all ends, technically there still wouldn't be magic, and also Doctor Strange will die.
I doubt either will happen.
Maybe the magic will re-manifest itself after they defeat the Empirical.
Or Reed will just bring it back.
Yeah, they better...
Huh?
I said Reed will just bring it back.
but they better explain how that happens.
Maybe in the next issue, because the next issue is the last issue of the storyline.
I don't have any theory.
It's a good story, but it's getting a little long in the tooth. But then again, with Doctor Strange, you have to imagine how many stories can you really tell?
I thought it moved forward pretty well there.
All right, since we're talking all things magic, Mighty Thor 8.
Jane Foster, she's being investigated by the Department of S.H.I.E.L.D. trying to find out what the new Thor's secret identity is.
Mm-hmm.
She's like,
who are goofy as fuck.
Yes, and they're like, and she's like, what are you going to do? I'm dying. I have cancer. How can you fret?
Also, she laughed at them.
Yes. We also got the Minotaur guy. He meets up with all the evil capitalists in Switzerland. And they find out...
I found this scene to be hilarious.
Yes, me too.
Like, it's just a... he said they were the 1% of the 1%. It was like... So it was the head of Roxxon, the head of Alchemax, Silver Samurai, Sebastian Shaw, Wilson Fisk... that little girl, and I can't remember what she runs.
Isn't she the one from what was that book? The X-Men book. Isn't that the Hellfire Club? Remember they were kids? Isn't that her?
Yeah, there were. Yeah, yeah. So she's head of the current
Hellfire Club.
Or one of the heads of the current Hellfire Club.
And then there was somebody there from the Shi'ar Empire?
Yes.
Maybe you want to explain a little bit of that?
And they were, they called the meeting to discuss the fact that the Roxxon guy had opened up an entirely new market, which is, you know, the
Asgard.
It's one of them. Well, the eight realms.
Yes.
The eight other realms. And he hadn't told them about it, and he hadn't offered them anything. So he got angry that they even called him into question. He wanted to brawl.
Yeah.
So Silver Samurai was going to fight him.
Oh, that's the son of the Silver Samurai, by the way.
El Hijo.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, El Hijo del Silver Samurai.
He's called Silver Samurai.
He's called Silver Samurai.
Yes, what he sounds.
Sorry about that. We're just addressing it.
And
there's probably nothing you can do about it.
It was him and the Exterminatrix.
Fine name, by the way.
Oh yeah, so Grant Morrison character makes a comeback. Because her dad is dead, so she runs Midas or whatever the company was called now, the evil.
Yeah, it's Midas.
Yeah, the evil company. And she was very upset they were having this meeting without her, because damn it, she's rich and evil too. But if they're teasing a fight between her and Thor, be a pretty short fight. You know what, with Thor being a god and all.
Well, she's got to contend with all these things and then Malekith on top of it.
It is cute that they brought in the super liberal S.H.I.E.L.D. agent to go fight the evil capitalists. I got a kick out of that. They didn't really get a chance to deal with it in this issue.
I didn't even make that correlation until you brought him. Like, oh, I know. Yeah.
Good eye there.
Yeah, yeah. She's going to be very upset that he's Roxxon guy is polluting the Nine Realms.
Looting and polluting is not the way.
The other S.H.I.E.L.D. agents don't like her. Although she was the only S.H.I.E.L.D. agent in this issue who came off as a human being and not a cartoon character.
Yeah, I know.
The ones, the people they introduced, they were in charge of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s division that discovers secret identities, and they were so goofy. Like, just, you couldn't take it seriously at all. Because they were like a complete cartoon. That's what they were.
Yeah.
But I like the issue.
As did I. I was wondering, because you think the way they were setting everything up with the Roxxon guy and Malekith and Loki, that eventually Thor would have to fight all these characters individually or all at once, and the fact that they were so willingly to kill off the Roxxon character. It's like, I wonder how the rest of it's going to play out.
Well, he might not be dead.
Yeah, but in other words, this was their way of writing him off for now.
I don't know. Has Thor fought the Super Roxxon soldiers yet?
I don't believe so yet. And we still have that Hulk character that they've been teasing as of late, too. So.
Well, I mean, he made like eight of them. You remember he took his elite soldiers and pumped them full of dragon blood?
Yeah.
Making, you know, eight Hulk monster things.
And in in this issue, too, they brought up the location of Odinson, because he hadn't been seen for a while.
Well, yeah, they mentioned that, you know, nobody knows where he is.
They said last time they saw him, he was on the moon.
Doing, and there was a weird energy thing.
Where did that one ultimate Thor hammer land? Was that on the moon?
I don't know if it was on the moon or somewhere else. It might have been on Asgard, or I don't know. I don't remember where it landed.
In an alley?
No, I don't think.
I don't know.
They showed someone picking it up. Yeah, so it may be Odinson.
It's dangerous. It's dangerous bringing him back. Because Jane Foster Thor, I get the sense she's kind of over.
Mm-hmm.
And if you bring original Thor back, you're kind of running a risk there.
Yeah, but at the same time, I mean, we can't completely ignore what they're doing with the movie stuff.
No,
and the fact that Natalie Portman's not going to be in the next movie.
No, don't.
I'm just saying. It wouldn't shock me.
Don't. It's not the movie stuff. This is a long running storyline. This has nothing to do with the movies.
Oh, really? Then why do they make Jan Foster and not the liberal S.H.I.E.L.D. agent, Thor?
Huh?
I said it made more sense for Thor to be the liberal S.H.I.E.L.D.
agent. No, that was a red herring, dude.
I'm still mad over that.
It still makes sense to Jane Foster, and Jane Foster is more interesting as the character because she's got the whole thing with being Thor is killing her because she's dying of cancer.
You know, her book sells better than Sam Wilson, too, by like 20,000 copies.
Well, yeah, because it's better written. She's not treated like a secondary jobber that nobody likes.
Of all these clone characters, it's like Sam Wilson is the one who's been the biggest failure.
Well, yeah, because she's like Sami Zayn, and he's like Adam Rose.
No. A lemon?
Hey, he's a lemon. He doesn't want to join the party train.
Nice.
They should give him a sidekick that wears a bunny costume.
But the problem with that, the bunny would be more popular than him.
Nah. And then the bunny takes the mask off and it's Steve Rogers.
He's like, I can! you couldn't upstage me once by being Cap again. You got to upstage me again and be the bunny.
Did you know that before he became a member of the Wyatt family, Braun Strowman used to be in Adam Rose's crew?
Yes, we're well aware of this.
Yeah, he was the guy who wore the gladiator outfit.
We have the internet there, Alex.
I noticed that when I first saw him. I'm like, oh, it's the guy from Adam Rose's thing. I wonder if he could wrestle. And as it turns out, he can't. But, you know, whatever. It's okay.
Next book, Nighthawk 2.
Yeah, I didn't read this.
Oh shit, I forgot to read this.
You guys missed out, because remember how much I said how much I hated the first issue?
Yeah,
it came off as the angry black man issue. I actually read it, and I liked it. It's the jokes on you guys.
I told you the first issue was well written.
Well, I mean, this is one of those things, too, where I like the second issue so much, I may go back and read it with these new eyes, because the focus of this book really wasn't on the developmental stuff, what they're doing in the neighborhood, which I'm kind of glad with. It mainly focused on the police were obviously corrupt, attacking people in the neighborhood, and Nighthawk was there to keep an eye on them. Go on, what were you saying?
Were they attacking black people in the neighborhood?
They were just attacking you. So they were, in fact, attacking a couple African-American kids, but then they stressed the fact that there were a couple of white kids there, too. So Nighthawk's role in this book is to keep an eye on the cops, to keep them honest. Because he did go after specifically cops that were crooked, that were beating up and murdering children. But at the same time, there's also this killer going around, because one of the cops was caught doing this by Nighthawk, but obviously because he didn't turn him into jail, obviously he got off scot-free, but there's this murder going around killing all these cops that are getting off for doing all these things. So the issue ends with this cop who they introduced at the beginning of the issue who was harassing these young kids, and he got off scot-free, and Nighthawk's trying to figure out, he clearly has a plan, even though the cops can't quite figure it out. It's like, well, this guy just got off scot-free, and obviously this killer's going to go after him, so I have to try to protect this crooked cop. So
I'll have to read this when I...
I'm surprised. Yeah. Dave, I thought you liked the first Nighthawk issue.
I never read it.
Huh.
Yeah, he didn't read it. I read it, and then I tried to explain to you why it was actually good, and then you read the second issue and I forgot to. So,
well, you can't blame me because the list is posted there on halfguardian.com.
I know. And I had it. If I was at my house, I would have read it.
Okay. And a book I'm sure that I didn't plan on reading, but I actually read this week, Scarlet Witch issue 7.
A nice little story.
Okay. Wait a minute. I have to question this. It says Robinson. Is this James Robinson writing this?
It says on comiclist.com. I'm looking at it right now. Let's see if I can pull up the actual issue. Why you're skeptical?
Why is he good on this book and he's kind of shit on everything else? What about this book? Because if you notice this book, it is mostly self-contained stories. Like, he's just telling stories.
No, it's Robinson.
That Scarlet Witch... Yeah, Scarlet Witch kind of finds her way into. But he's basically just telling different stories that have something to do with magic at different points in the world. And all of these one-off stories I have found to be very, very good. And it's not always easy to write an enjoyable self-contained story. And he's done it about 5 times in 7 issues of this book. And I don't understand why, you know, this is good, but Squadron Supreme isn't.
And his Fantastic Four run was no good. I think it's a thing of even a broken clock is right every once in a while. Cause even, I think Humphreys wrote a couple issues of Star-Lord that I really liked. So even the worst writers do have some redeeming issues.
Well, he's not one of the worst writers though, because he wrote one of the great modern superheroes.
Well, I was, in this specific instance, I was bringing up Humphreys.
Oh, Humphreys, yeah. He is one of the worst. No, I just think it's weird because I'm reading this, and you know, I read through the whole thing really quick. I liked it a lot, and then I finished it. I just get why this guy can't be consistent anywhere else.
You know what I found? Can they make up their minds about her costume already? I've seen her like have 4 different costumes in the last couple months.
I've got an explanation.
Different artists.
Okay. Okay, that's probably the actual information, and maybe they're just not keeping too close an eye on this book. But my 2 explanations are: number one, each of these stories has a different artist. It takes place in a different place.
Setting, so they got to have clothes that are appropriate?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if all clothes she's had are appropriate, but like what she was wearing here was closer to her old costume, and I don't think that was particularly important for, you know, we're going to go fight the fucking Chinese mafia in Hong Kong.
Yeah, I'm looking up the last week artist, and this week's artist is 2 completely different people.
Because the way they're doing it on purpose, the way the story is structured, for each different storyline, they get a different artist. And that's fine. I think that might be a part of why I like this book. But there's no consistency with the costume. So it's either they're doing it on purpose because of the different locations, or Scarlet Witch is very stylish and she doesn't want to wear the same thing every day, dude.
Yeah, that could be it too. She wears something different in Doctor Strange book too.
Yeah, she just wants to change clothes. You know, she's traveling all over the world for this series. Like, she was in Hong Kong in the last issue. She was in France or something.
She was in like Greece. She was in Ireland. She was in Hong Kong.
Yeah. So I mean, when she's flying around that much, where's she gonna wash her costume? She don't wear some dirty shit. So she changes clothes.
Funny you should bring up the costume, because it had one of my favorite lines in this book where the lady figures out Scarlet Witch. He's like, "Well, you're talking about magic, and you're wearing scarlet. I put the 2 to 2 together."
Oh yeah, I kind of knew who you were.
The character she teamed up with in this issue was Du. Remember they showed her in a backup story in the Doctor Strange?
Mm-hmm.
Or I don't know if it was a backup story, but it was some side story.
The Woo.
Yeah.
Woo.
It's funny. They took on the Hong Kong sorcerer or whatever he was. That was like a mafia guy, and he was using magic. But you know, because her dad was a cop, and she's like half white and half Asian. So instead of using the magic part from her mom, she just used real bullets.
She just shot him. And she's like, "Well, a part of magic is sleight of hand and trickery."
Well, no, I think the real reason why she's like, "I'm going after this guy, and this guy's got magic." And he's got to know that I'm probably going to come at it with some magic. So I figure I got to, you know, throw him off. So I'm going to use a real bullet and kill him and not use magic.
Yeah, and it worked because most people, their biggest weakness is getting shot. That'll kill you.
Did you watch that movie, Harold and Kumar?
Not for years.
There's that one scene where he's having the fantasy and he shoots the cop. And the cop says, "Bullets, my only weakness. How did you know?"
That's an old joke, though.
It's so funny, though.
No, it is.
I hate to break it to you guys, and I hope none of my enemies are listening right now, but bullets is, in fact, my weakness as well. Keep it to yourselves. Keep it under your hat.
I'll make sure to always keep a gun in case you come by so I can shoot you.
You guys have a turn to villainy.
I knew your weakness.
The cops go after me with beanbag guns and magic.
Yeah.
This guy's unstoppable. Yeah. What's his weakness?
All right, well, the Woo won.
Woo!
And Scarlet Witch apparently disappeared next month. I don't know. Maybe she'll be in Africa or something.
South America.
I'll probably like it. I like his book. It's good. It doesn't do continuing stories.
it had one.
Yeah, it had one that continued for, what, two issues?
Yes, but they also implied that he would be back eventually down the road.
The Emerald Wizard?
Yes.
What a bad, or was he the Emerald Warlock?
Yeah, it might have been Warlock.
Well, again, I will point out, Scarlet Witch has, like, no villains. So you might as well make one, and he might as well have a color before his name.
Yeah, she's a Scarlet Witch. He's the Emerald Warlock.
Yeah.
Perfect.
It's all right. And he's a douchebag Irishman. Very common thing in the world. Oh.
No. How dare
Irish
you.
Irish listeners.
FYI.
They're dicks on the internet a lot. I'm just saying.
FYI.
It's all right.
FYI, Alex's weakness is also bullets. In case any Irish people are listening.
Actually, I'm immune.
They make you stronger, in fact, right?
Yes, I absorb the iron. Is there iron in bullets? Probably not.
It doesn't matter. The kinetic force from the gun exiting the barrel.
Yes. I will absorb the energy.
Get stronger.
That the bullet is using to enter my body. and then I will go binary. And I'll have a fire head. It's good.
I don't know how this transition. I don't know what any of this has to do with Totally Awesome Hulk, though, but we're going to try to do it. We're talking a Totally Awesome Hulk issue 7.
It was a really good issue. I really liked it.
Yeah. Yeah. Amadeus, there wasn't much involved in this issue.
No.
This was pretty much, here's what happened to Bruce Banner. That was it.
Bruce Banner has survivor's guilt, apparently, because, you know, he realizes he's cured from being the Hulk, and he has a death wish.
So, well, because he can never make up for the harm he did as the Hulk, and I think they didn't come right out and say this, but the fact that Cho is Hulk now, and he seems to be pretty normal, and doesn't go on rampages where he destroys cities and murders people, you know, he can't use the excuse of, oh, it was the Hulk who did this stuff, not me. It's like, well, you know, and Cho even kind of told him, he's like, yeah, I mean, you had all these anger issues and stuff, so that's why your Hulk is a maniac, but I'm cool, so, you know, my Hulk is totally awesome.
Yeah, but at the same time, you have to know eventually, because they've been teasing it in the issues before when we still read this book, that eventually, you know, the Hulk's going to get the better of him.
Well, yeah, because they got the whole thing with he's got the Hulk locked in the trunk.
Yes.
And the way they connected that was when Banner is driving like a fucking madman in this car. He's like, there's nothing in my trunk.
I will say that was a little hacky. It's like, oh, get it? Remember what we did earlier with Cho?
It was, but it was cute because they haven't mentioned that since the second issue, and we're on the seventh, so that's fine.
It was a nice. You can do it. It was a nice little metaphor, anyways.
Yeah, they had they had it like triple confirmed in this book that he was cured.
Yeah.
Like, eventually Tony Stark shows up and he's like, hey, I triple checked Cho's findings there and you really are cured.
And he really wanted, he's like, he was all pissed off. It's like he had the Hulk anger, but he couldn't like turn into the Hulk. So he eventually just cried.
Yeah, he cried and hugged Tony in the end. Even though Tony offered to give him a free shot, should have taken it. Because we found out in the Wade run that Banner doesn't really like Tony Stark.
Yeah, I remember that.
Because he doesn't think he's that smart.
Also, he sent the
big piece. Yeah, well, there's that too. Good issue, though. Told us what was going on with Banner before he gets killed. By Captain Marvel, bitch. Killing people on the word of some inhuman.
That's the one thing nobody brings up. I wonder if that's going to be the issue, because Ulysses had the vision of Hulk killing people, but Banner isn't Hulk anymore.
Maybe they'll kill Cho.
Sure.
Well, they thought he'd become Hulk again, but it no, because in the vision he didn't have the little mohawk, the faux hawk.
The faux hawk. That's all the more reason to kill this new Hulk.
Well, yeah, but the new Hulk's all right. He's strong as the old Hulk, but he's not crazy.
He's a horn dog, remember?
The thing is, how are they going to kill Hulk? They haven't had any luck the last, like, times.
They sent him to the... Well, he's not Hulk. Banner's not Hulk anymore. So if Captain Marvel snaps his neck, I'm pretty sure he'll be dead.
No, he's just a dude now.
She could rip his head off and kick it, but then it'll turn out he's a Skrull.
That's still the best death of 2016.
Yeah, ripped Narmer's head off and then punted it.
Maybe
like
the
punting part was unnecessary.
Maybe this Bruce Banner is also a Skrull.
Everyone, no, I don't think he is. I don't think they're going to tie it into Squadron Supreme.
That's their out from here on in. It used to be stuff like Secret Wars. Well, now it's. Well, he's a Skrull.
Oh, by the way, now that I'm thinking about this, I don't know if you've heard about this, Alex, but...
You're gay. We knew that.
No. they're remastering and re-releasing the Ultimate Alliance 1 and 2 for PS4 and Xbox One. I don't know.
I don't even remember what Ultimate Alliance is.
Remember that video game, the one with all the heroes, and it was kind of like Baldur's Gate?
To beat them up?
Oh, yeah.
So they're remastering and re-releasing them as a collection.
Oh, that might... Yeah, yeah, I'm not interested in that because you've heard me rant about all the fucking re-releases. Make a new game.
They technically can't.
What? Although technically, I don't know if this is how true it is, but, you know, because this leaked, this was an accidental leak. Now are all just rumors about Ultimate Alliance 3, which I hope they release. I really want
to
play
that game.
I don't
think they have the rights to Marvel games anymore. Who made this game?
Wasn't it Activision, or was it somebody else?
Ultimate Alliance. Let's see who made this game.
Well, it's a video game, so you can guess it's Activision. You got a 50% chance of being right.
Let's see.
Japanese game development doesn't exist anymore.
Yes.
And the only two American companies are... Activision and EA.
Yes,
it was
so.
Raven Software developer and publisher Activision.
And I don't believe they have the rights anymore.
Well, I know what's his name? The people that make that Walking Dead game, they got the rights to make a game. And I guess it's
a Batman game.
That one and a Marvel game.
Wow, that's weird.
Yeah, they got a Marvel license.
God.
Well, I don't know if it's a license, because it's going to be like, I guess, one of those point-and-click games. It's coming out, I think, next.
Well, it's going to be like Walking Dead.
Yeah, probably.
I'm hyped to play that. Those guys can tell a good story. So.
Did you ever play they had one for Game of Thrones.
I heard about that, yeah.
It was like...
I played the first chapter, or however they divide it, and I found it to be enjoyable. It felt like a Game of Thrones game. I didn't play the Fables one, the one about Bigby.
Yeah.
But that was apparently very good.
So I don't know if they actually just own licenses, or because they're just click and point games that they just make them for everybody who's a comic book game.
Maybe.
Yeah, because they got DC, they got, well, that's Vertigo, so it's also the same thing, and they got Marvel, and they got Game of Thrones.
Just do a crossover.
And Walking Dead.
Yeah, and Walking Dead, Image, yeah. So, yeah.
I'll play in a year when it's on the Steam Summer Sale. By the way, this is unrelated to comics entirely, but the Steam Summer Sale this year has been complete shit so far, and the good old games sale is like 500 times better. I bought like 8 PC games that I'm never going to have time to play.
I like you buy these games that you openly admit to stealing most games.
Well, the thing is, the deal is so good that I can't really pass it up.
You know what's a better deal? Just for free.
Yeah, but I don't know.
Free is always preferred to very little.
Dude, Witcher 3 was like $15 or something. It's amazing.
It's still more than free, though.
Game rules.
Free, as the kids say, free 99.
I don't have to fuck around running crack files and stuff to get the legit version to work. And that'll save me at least a couple minutes.
That's probably why they charge so little.
Okay. Next book.
Ultimates 8.
Hey, this is the best issue of Ultimates in a while.
Not really.
I like this one.
Wasn't there one like 2 or 3 issues ago that was just as good? Remember the Galactus one?
The Galactus stuff was really good, yeah.
That was good, but I like this because it showed how they formed the team.
Yeah, there's
and then they still did modern stuff with it.
Isn't that ass backwards? They did.
Yeah, it is. Come on, comic writers.
Get it together.
For the team in the first issue, not the 7th.
Oh, the 8th. Were they thinking?
This is a bunch of diarrhea cat shit.
I don't want religion in my comics.
No, this showed the forming of the team, which was basically Captain Marvel would recruit someone, and then that person would tell her to go talk to someone else, who would tell her to talk to someone else.
Yes.
And lead heels in this are the NSA.
Yes.
Fucking 2 thumbs up for that one.
Oh, by the way, and I just want to know because I hadn't been reading that other book. Remember how we were always trying to figure out why the hell the New Avengers had the members they did? Did they ever explain that?
Not really.
No.
Like, why is Squirrel Girl on that team?
Because they were just asking folks who wanted to be on the team, and everybody was
They're building to it. It's all a part. It's all a part of Sunspot's master plan. All
right.
And now his BFF Cannonball is on the team, so. I don't know. Maybe we'll find out. Maybe they'll go back to hitting on Maria Hill.
Did they ever hit on Maria Hill?
I think so.
Remember that one issue where...
seem to remember that.
Remember that one issue where they went to the features like Rhodes, where we're going, where we don't have...
he's all, we'll go under one condition. And then Maria Hill just looks at him and says, fine, it's about your kids, Mike.
Yeah, they made her say it. Oh, that was good. No, but this issue was good. They formed the team, and then they showed this is the issue where I immediately get on Facebook, and I'm like, they completely fucking buried War Machine in this issue. Because what they showed in this issue was the plan that Spectrum put together, because Spectrum is a former leader of the Avengers, so she is a strategic master. She put together a plan to beat Thanos, which did sound like a good plan. But if anyone fucked up, it would be bad. And who fucked up? War Machine fucked up. He was stepping on toes, and he shot a big fucking missile off when he wasn't supposed to, and it hit She-Hulk, and then he got punched through the chest and died. So it was his own fault. It wasn't her fault. And Blue Marvel had to, like, talk her down, like, hey, it wasn't really your fault. And the thing was, it wasn't her fault. It was his fault because he's stupid and he sucks, and that's why he's dead. And then Blue Marvel and Spectrum, they made out a little bit.
Oh, didn't you say that she had an idea that she came up with, and you're like, oh, yeah, that's what she should have.
Yeah. Yeah, no, she said, she's like, I've got, she's like, I can turn into light. I could have gone in through his eyes and killed him. And I never even thought to do it. And I'm like, yes, you should have, because in Justice League and the Rock of Ages storyline, the way Batman figured out how to kill Darkseid was, if I remember this correctly, he had the Atom ride on a photon, because he had Green Arrow shoot one of his light arrows towards him. Mm-hmm. So he has Atom ride on a photon on the light arrow, like the light that came through, into Darkseid's eye, which allowed him to get into his brain, and then he shot his brain with lasers and killed Darkseid. So her plan to kill Thanos was Batman's plan to kill Darkseid. And since they're the same character, probably would have worked.
I was hoping
you would have... Well, she failed by not reading Grant Morrison's Justice League, and that's a huge failure.
I don't think she could have. She was in a separate universe.
Well, yeah, but those characters should still exist, right, in comics? Like, that's okay.
Yeah, you're right. They have brought up... In their world, there is a fictional superheroes by the name of Batman and Superman.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way...
So, she's sure. The end, read Justice League.
At the end of the issue, the little shadowy... government folks are talking about the Ultimates and the fact that Thanos is underground, and Thanos is like looking all sinister. He's like, time to plan my next move.
Yeah, he's like all he's all tied up, but he's gonna break out and cause shit. Now, this book confirmed to me that Squadron Supreme is gonna get canceled, because the Ultimates have completely taken the place of what the Squadron Supreme were supposed to be.
Poor comic like, book sales didn't tip you off.
Well, I mean, maybe if they would have stuck with their original plan of making him the Authority, it would have worked. But in this book, they're just blatantly telling you, it's like, oh, the government are against the Ultimates because they're going to be all proactive. They were okay with Captain Marvel making a new superhero team until they saw how she recruited. And I mean, I read this as she recruited a bunch of black people, but that's not what they said.
It can't be that, because you know they got a couple of token white people on their team.
Yeah, they got a white person. They got a Hispanic woman.
Yeah, but it's I agree. They're on there, Blue Marvel.
I agree. That's what that team is. And in fact, I think before this was Ultimates, wasn't that the Luke Cage Avengers?
No, that was the New Avengers. That was the other.
That was Mighty Avengers.
The Mighty Avengers.
Yeah, Al Ewing was.
But they didn't have Black Panther.
Black Panther was a series upgrade from Luke Cage. Just saying.
Well.
Yes.
Black Panther's a lot better. This book's completely different from that book. Some of the characters are shared, but also I liked how. Since it went, you know, from person to person to person recommending these other people for the team, it made sense why each of these people recommended each of the other people. Like, they gave a little explanation, but most of those characters did have some sort of connection. So it was logical the way it moved. But
it wasn't just,
you know, now we're,
yeah, it wasn't just a bunch of minority characters in there for the sake of it.
Yeah, it's not like, hey, I'm a black guy and I know this black guy, why don't you go get him? And like, hey, I'm a black guy and I know this Puerto Rican chick, go get her. No, it wasn't like that. They had reasons for telling her why to go and recruit these other people. And when they explained the strategy for fighting Thanos, it made sense, like what the plan was. So I liked all that. And we have two villains now. We have Thanos on the horizon, who's going to break out because he's angry and he's Thanos. And then we have the evil shadowy government group headed by the evil head of the NSA.
We also have whatever's going on with Galactus.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in this book.
It's a good book.
Which is the way it should be, because they're They're the big issues team.
How this isn't the mainstream Avengers team. Well, although then again, with Uncanny Avengers going on this week, I can kind of see why. Maybe to me that's the real Avengers title. That's the one I like.
Uncanny Avengers?
Yeah. That was great this week. Did you read that?
I still think All New, All Different are supposed to be.
They're supposed to be, but it's totally Waid just phoning it in every single week or every single time that book comes out.
I disagree.
I prefer his Archie over his.
As do I. And the less said about Black Widow, the better.
Yeah, that book's fine too.
Let's talk this week's Uncanny Avengers.
Hank Pym is evil.
Or possibly dead, or just mixed with Ultron.
We know he's mixed with Ultron.
Yeah. Maybe he just looks like him, but he's not actually him.
Yeah, Janet seems to think it's Ultron using Hank Pym's face.
But that's stupid. He merged with Ultron, so he's. I mean, when you combine two separate things, they're not necessarily going to know everything. The person they merged with knows, like, something's going to be lost in the translation. The fact that he didn't recognize a Ghostbusters reference.
Apparently that's his favorite movie, I guess.
Yeah. And she's using this as part of the proof.
She being the Wasp.
Yeah. That Wasp is using this as part of the proof that he's, you know, he's 100% Ultron. That's a little. Also, her being insistent that Deadpool murder him.
That's the thing that made me question whether or not she was on the level.
Well, if she really thought it was Ultron, that would make sense.
But the thing is like, the Ultron Pym character, he didn't deny her theory when she stated it to his face.
Yeah, well. No, he coughed up black shit out of his throat and then got half a robot face.
Cable kind of like, he was like questioning his importance. Like, is he really worth it?
You were a very smart man, but you were also a smart man when the Stony Starks and Reed Richards were around the world.
What an asshole.
Yeah, he said something to the effect of, you were a smart man, but there were gods.
Yeah.
So. And, you know, Hank's got an ego, so.
The Deadpool, because he knows Cable's from the future. He's all, when does Half-Life 3 ever come out?
Well, no, because he said he's, like, in something very important, and he's like Half-Life 3 finally drops?
And then he's all, wait, at least something quickly, important.
They quickly scuttled Deadpool away, who came back when a gun had to be used. And Cap comes and because Wasp is like, hey, you got to shoot Hank Ultron, because he's really just Ultron. Deadpool's like, yeah, okay, I'll shoot him. And then Cap's like, no, the Avengers don't murder. And I'm a fucking hypocrite because I kill people. Fuck you, Cap. Fucking dick.
Hey, he said the Avengers.
It's okay if you kill people on your own dime, but if you're fucking at Avengers
Museum. He kills people in wartime. Legal deaths.
Then again, he
killed people in the Rucker Run, and it was Cap, not Bucky.
And then I'm also blowing some through your logic as well. This is secretly evil Steve Rogers.
Oh, yeah, this is Hydra Steve Rogers. He doesn't approve of killing.
I got you there. I got you there. You got that minute.
That reveal is going to be undone in the next issue of of Captain America, by the way.
I would love it if just it opens up with him still looking at the camera and be like, just kidding.
And then he goes, just playing, y'all.
Lol.
Lols. I'm going to go back in time and draw dongs on Hitler's face.
Someone needs to give us a book so we can do this. Be great.
No, that's what happened here, though. Hank looks to be turning evil.
I still don't know if it's turning evil. I think it's just Ultron's influence on Hank is getting stronger. Because it really only seemed to come out. Now, obviously, he was talking to Janet, but it really seemed to go off when he was talking to Cable.
Well, Cable's kind of a dick.
Well, yeah.
Although he does seem to fit on the team pretty well.
He's also the son of Cyclops, so he would be a dick. Yeah, well,
he's more over than Cyclops, as most people are. By the way, I want to bring this up now because I just remembered.
Are you really sure about that? Because Cyclops among the X-Men fans is really over.
Okay, but Cable had a pretty damn long-running solo series, and Cyclops had a couple minis that no one ever bought. So,
and he's a leader of the main X-Men book that sold for decades.
Did anyone buy it? Then why didn't they buy his solo series, any of them? Because they bought Cable's.
Didn't they buy?
And then they bought Cable and Deadpool.
Yeah, they buy the Deadpool one.
Also, I can almost guarantee the 12 storyline, which was horrible, sold better than the Search for Cyclops.
Because
nobody fondly remembers that, even to make fun of it.
Did you guys see that article? I think it was on CBR or somewhere that had that article, and then the headline was, "Is Cyclops a sociopath?"
Oh, by the way, Grant Morrison made fun of the Search for Cyclops in his X-Men run, where he had a character remark, "Oh God, are we going to have another Search for Cyclops?" And then they cut away because he knew that storyline sucked too. They never should have found him.
It's comic book resources. Comic books should be good. Comic book question answered is Cyclops a sociopath?
Good job, Cronin. He's a talented man.
I'll be sure to link that story in the description.
The answer is yes.
He's a bad person.
This is the internet age. Everyone's a sociopath.
Apparently. Our website is hosted by a well-renowned sociopath. According to one, Todd Martin.
Oh, Coughlin? Yeah, he is a sociopath.
He's all, my dad and my mom's dead, you sociopath.
Have you heard Todd Martin on
No.
On Wade Keller's show? I listened to it once. It's pretty much exactly the same as the Brian show. Except Wade Keller has a slight bit of bass in his voice, so it's almost more tolerable. But it goes on for like 12 hours. So
no bias.
Just give Todd Martin a job doing book reviews. I always enjoyed those.
With his big fat head.
I don't care what it's fucking radio. I don't care how big his head is.
Have you seen photos of him? He has a big fat head.
I don't care. Why would I care?
Because I can't respect a person who's got a big fat head.
I just gotta listen to him talk. I can listen to him talk. You're like fucking Vince McMahon now. Oh, I can't have JR on. He's too old. Let's put Byron Saxton on. Oh,
have you heard him on New Japan on Axis?
No, but the ratings went up, didn't they?
There's a reason why he's not on TV.
Why?
He's no good.
Oh, well, the ratings went up, and...
There's never been an update on those ratings, so we don't know.
Well, because they don't sign up for ratings, that's why.
Yeah, they do. They collect the data in a different way.
They base their business models completely different.
Well, if you took JR off that Wrestle Kingdom they put on pay-per-view, I bet you can cut down the number of buys from Americans significantly. So... Still better than JBL and Byron Saxton. not better than the two NXT guys. Corey Graves is pretty good, and the guy with glasses is all right too.
Yeah, we get to the
whatever
next
his name is.
Yeah, let's move on to our next publisher, Valiant, and with the first book, Divinity 2, Issue 3. Love this book so much, Dave.
Yeah, it was a good issue. I like this. The female Divinity. She's taking on the male one, and she's trying to go back in time to change the future to make the Soviet Union the superpower.
Mm-hmm.
But as they explained previously in Ivar Timewalker, you can't change the future.
That was such a great callback.
Well, you can at the end of Ivar, though.
Well, this takes place before that. I guess.
Wait. No, it can't, because that was a time travel storyline. They changed it forever.
Fair enough.
Valiant, which only has like 5 books, is ignoring its own continuity.
No, it ain't. They never fixed it. They never said you could change it then.
It always corrects
itself.
They broke
time. Oh, wait. Didn't they fix it in the end,
yes,
though?
That's the point me and Dave were mentioning. You clawed. You dunderhead. Trying to think.
I didn't read this book because I don't care about Russia.
Well, it was good story. Well, at the end of the issue, she basically, well, she can't change the past. She's just going to change the present. So she's trying to turn the U.S. into communism.
And how does the issue end this week there, Dave?
The Statue of Liberty were using the sickle.
Damn you!
Wait a minute. Does this take place in the past?
No.
She's able to...
Then why is she changing things into communism when Russia is not communist anymore?
Well, when the end of the first issue, because she came back from space and she noticed that Russia isn't what it used to be, she got together with Putin. And so modern-day Putin and her...
Putin?
Putin.
Putin.
Whatever the fuck his name is.
He doesn't want communism.
It's power.
He wants power, but he can get...
And it's not even really communism. It's not even really communism because she made Russia the richest country in the world and best economy in the world. And remember, there was some shit with Jack.
Yeah, it's not really communism because they have money.
They're fantasy. She's fantasy booking communism.
Yeah, pretty much.
She's awesome.
And I guess she's trying. I guess she made it so they conquered the U.S. I guess.
Oh, good job. Good for her.
At least it appears like that. She manifestly changed the Statue of Liberty to be Russian.
Oh, that's bullshit, because Ninja K would have fucking chopped it. Also, that doesn't even make any sense. That would mean that when Russia invaded the United States, they decided to rebuild the Statue of Liberty. Like, they just added a sickle.
No, I think she just magically changed it because, you know, they have those weird powers.
And thanks, Alex, for stepping over my bit.
You had a bit?
Yeah, well, when they did the reveal of the Statue of Liberty, this is what Divinity One said.
Damn you! God damn you all to hell!
He didn't think it was funny.
Yeah, he did! That's a funny bit.
All right, let's get in the next book.
All right, our final book. Oh, God, I can't remember. Oh, Rye 14.
Yeah, it was a good issue.
This is good.
What the hell happened? Why is there a new Rye? Did I miss something?
Oh, you didn't read properly. This was a 36th century Rye.
Ah.
Yeah, they instead of saying, you know, 500 years ago, they actually listed the century, and the 36th century is before 4001.
Which is a 41st.
Which would be the 41st century.
Yes.
So, yeah, this was in the past, Fat Man.
Gonna take you back to the
past. This is before the Raddies and the secret positron army and all the stuff we saw in Rye, this is before that. And that was all caused by Father.
I should have known because this was a completely different artist. I'm like, oh, I missed the old Rye art. This was done by Safu.
I thought the art was still good.
Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it was different, but it was still good.
All right, that's going to do it for this week's books. Let's move on to our next segment. Next week, books.
Hey, Batman.
Hold on. What do you have to say? Hold on. Whatever. Yes.
We didn't actually say anything about Rye again.
Well, we sort of did. Did you have anything else to say?
After all no, that, he brings the show to a grand halt. I don't really have anything to say.
Well, we're kind of getting lazy here. Our review of that book was, oh, I didn't understand this was a different Rye, and then we explained it, and then we went to the next segment.
Sorry, it seemed like I'm like, oh, okay, that seems like a good place to end this discussion.
Well, the only thing to really mention is father was a dick way back in the day.
Yeah,
this isn't a new thing.
He jettisoned a piece of New Japan to teach them all to
wow
respect his authority.
And he said every 100 years there had to be a new Rye.
Yes.
Who was different depending on what was needed. So the Rye in the 36th century was all loving and nice and tried to bring everyone together. But father noticed there were a lot of problems. So he needed a warrior Rye who was a cool looking Rye with like a hood and he had laser whips.
That was awesome.
Which is a feminine weapon, by the way.
Laser whips. Indiana Jones would say otherwise.
Yeah, well, he's an exception. But
Simon
like, if
Belt's,
you play Double Dragon, dude,
Simon,
who uses whips in Double Dragon?
I will counterpoint you with Simon Belmont.
Catwoman. He wears a dress.
So? He's still a manly skirt. Man who fights Dracula.
It's a tunic.
Yeah, it's a tunic.
Whatever, it's a skirt. It's
hey,
a skirt.
Does Link wear a skirt?
He wears a tunic.
He wears a tunic as well.
No, Link actually does wear a tunic. Simon Belmont wears a skirt. Look it up.
I'm trying to think of other characters.
A leather and metal skirt.
I'm trying to think, there's other characters that must have whips. Or other people in fiction that must have whips.
It's the only ones I know.
Catwoman?
Let's see. I'm going to look this up.
Uses a whip.
Fictional characters that use whips. See, usually I'm pretty strict on us moving the show along, but today I was like, let's just have a discussion because we don't have a lot of books this week.
Indiana Jones is not a fictional character. He's a real person.
Does he have a real name?
I forget what his real name was. They say in Last Crusade, his name wasn't really Indiana.
His name is Henry Jones Jr.
Yeah, not Indiana.
Indiana was a dog's name.
Yeah, he took his name after the dog.
Yeah, that's sad.
Sean Connery was not cool with that. Your name's not Indiana.
Trying to find other characters that have whips.
It's all freaking the Belmonts.
Danish mine.
What?
Richter wore a tunic.
Now we're getting nowhere.
I know.
Let's just move on.
All right.
Rye was good.
Next week's books.
I'm really sick of his song. Can we go back to the waiting?
Okay, I'm fine with that.
No, could we pick a different song?
Something new, please. I hate that song so much.
How dare you?
Well, it was funny at first, but it is getting a little old now. But let's not go back to Tom Petty. Let's pick something else.
All right.
We'll figure it out some other time. Let's go for
yeah.
it.
Okay, I will be reading my number two because I like number one. I don't remember if I talked Fat Man into reading the second issue with me.
What's mine?
No, my. The
M-Y?
The thing with the cat people.
I never read that, I don't think.
You didn't read it.
Let me look this up. I don't remember reading it. My?
You didn't like it.
I probably didn't, knowing me.
Well, you don't like anything until you read the second issue.
I'm like Mikey when it comes to comics.
Whatever. All right, can I keep going?
He doesn't like anything. Yes.
Art Ops number 9.
And I'm going to spell it right this week. O-P-S.
Art Ops.
I thought that's how you spelled it, honestly. All right, Ops, got it.
Dark Knight 3, Master Race, number 5.
Master Race.
There's not a lot coming out from DC, just a lot of second printings.
No, not a lot of Image, not a lot of Valiant. Guess, wait till they get to the Marvel section.
Oh, wait. Let me make sure I'm not...
I don't think...
missing it. Let me check something right quick.
It might be it.
Let me play my waiting song. Hold on. It's under drops. Well, Laurel looks this up. Let's play our waiting music. Okay, I'm going to pause at this point.
Okay.
Okay.
Jupiter's Legacy, Volume 2, Number 1.
Oh, my God.
It says in this, by the way, monthly art by Frank Quietly. I don't believe it.
Monthly. Well, we'll see.
Rob Liefeld is doing a variant cover.
Oh.
Miller, such a troll.
Oh, dear.
Amazing.
Such a fucking... roll. Starve number 10, last issue.
Aww.
I haven't liked it for like 3 issues, dude.
This is true.
Don't act upset.
Still, it's ending.
All new, all different Avengers, number 11.
Dave, do you want to keep reading this book?
I guess.
God damn.
They fight a nihilist in this.
But it's really awesome. Underwhelming and uninspired, and Wade just phones it in.
Black Panther.
You don't understand what uninspired means.
Black Panther.
Ooh. Black Panther number 3.
Captain America. The real one.
Captain America number 2.
Can I list that as the real one?
No, it just says Captain America Steve Rogers number 2.
I want to put the real one.
But isn't the Sam Wilson book Sam Wilson Captain America?
Yes. Can I just put the real one though?
Steve Rogers gets Captain America first.
Tempted to make a race joke.
You guys still read Darth Vader?
Yeah, it's almost over.
Yeah, it's good.
Right. Extraordinary X-Men, number 11.
Okay.
Haunted Mansion's cute, but I think I said it's cute enough, and now I don't have to read it.
What book?
Haunted Mansion. So I'm not including it.
Okay, cool.
Hyperion, number 4.
A book you and I enjoy.
Spider-Man number 5.
Spider-Man. This is the Miles book, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Cool.
Unadjectived is the Miles book.
Look at the adjective.
Okay.
Someone look that
play.
Up.
That's not a fucking adjective, Kevin Nash. It's a verb. You fucker.
Hey, point to me.
Uncanny Inhumans, number 11.
What book?
Uncanny Inhumans, number 11.
Hey, you want to come over here and talk like that there, Dave?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go. Let's pause the show for a little bit.
All he did was repeat it.
Dave's gonna fly all the way here to California, throw down.
Yes.
That's it for Marvel.
Bloodshot Reborn, number 14.
Yeah!
With fucking 8 million covers. And only one of them is by Kano. Flawless victory.
Of Mortal Kombat fame?
No.
Is he gonna rip your heart out when you finish reading this book?
And
Exo Manowar.
No, I can't do the input. Exo Manowar 47. All new arc. All new jumping on point. Didn't we have a jumping on point like 2 months ago?
Yes.
Yes, something like that.
They're desperate. This is not what we're talking about.
Well, March. The greatest Valiant milestone of all time starts here.
Yeah, issue 50. That's the last issue, quote unquote.
Well, how is that the greatest landmark,
I guess,
in Valiant history is the last issue of Exo Manowar?
Probably because it's the longest run of all their comics. It's got to be, right?
I don't know.
Because I think the one with, what was the one with the mutant people? That one was like dirty.
Sure.
Yeah, that was like 30-something, I think. This is their longest-running book.
Well, still. I don't know if it's a, well, maybe the modern version of Valiant.
Yeah, modern, I imagine.
Valiant has such a weird history. All right, that's all the comics.
All right. That's going to do it for this week's show, then.
Because I'm not reading, like, at least two of those. Hyperion, I don't read. And
it's going to be a very short show, guys.
Not bad, dude.
I don't care.
I know. You're missing out there, Dave.
I'm,
yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, I'm dying here because I'm missing it.
Comes out the
Fights an evil.
Comes out the
Fights an evil carnival.
Comes out the 14 books, by the way.
14? Oh, that ain't bad. That means like I only read like 12 of them. Yeah, it's going to be a light week.
There you go. I predict this won't be lasting.
You can go read Grant Morrison's Justice League. So you're not fucking reading anything else. Go read something good, fucker.
And report back to you. Been let's do a review years. Of it. Hey, guys, I know we usually talk new books, but let's talk old Grant Morrison's run on Justice League for lulz.
What? You can't read the entire thing. It was fucking like 50 issues.
Really? You don't think I could read all of it in a time span of a week?
I don't know. You could try. I fucking can't, but I already read it because I'm a boss.
Because you're a boss. All right, let's wrap up this bad boy up. So from all of us...
Robert Music guy.
What's that?
Roger Banks. You remember how our music goes?
So we end this week's show with Sasha Banks music?
No, can we just...
Yes.
No.
Let me look it up. I'm going to look it up and then we'll end the show right there, Dave. You can leave. You can leave now. We're done with the show.
I'm just going to hang up.
All right, let's play the Sasha Banks theme.